Oh, there's that bad music, and Peter Lynham, are you there on the phone?
I am here, yes indeed. Shivering in the cold.
Oh my goodness, this is some true winter weather the last couple of days. It's kind of nice to see, because last year was so mild, but it's a nice reminder of what...
I've forgotten all about winter. Yeah.
Now, what are we talking about this afternoon, Peter Lynham?
Well, we did make a promise 2 weeks ago that we would address the religious right. Mm-hmm. And I think we've got to, because it's certainly making a big noise at the moment, I tell you.
We're talking traditional, very conservative values, people that are worried about the modern family, retaining those sort of traditional establishments, that sort of thing, you know, like no abortion, no obscenity.
The shape of the religious right a bit varies depending on the current fads of the religious left, if you like, mm-hmm. or maybe the social left.
Yes.
That kind of explains what's the reaction to. Mm-hmm. So at the moment, the boundaries of sexuality and behaviour to do with the body mm-hmm. are pretty much the centre of the debate.
Yes.
But goodness knows, will we get back to the burning of records? We may, the burning of music. I think probably at some stage we will.
Mm-hmm. All those vinyl records going on the bonfire.
Yeah, that's right. I think that the religious right, I mean, it's not booming in New Zealand. Mm-hmm. I think you'd be hard pressed to say that. But there is a bit of an aspect in which it's not dead, and that's the bit that confuses us. We imagine, just because it gets so roundly condemned a lot in New Zealand, that it's not there. Oh, most certainly it's there. It
yes.
really is there.
I mean, which particular churches in New Zealand would have the, I mean, destiny? What about, like, Life Church and those sorts of places? Would they be fairly conservative?
Life Church, etc., and the mega churches mostly are morally conservative in all areas except what you might call youth expression.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, this used to be the great boundary that separated. The fundamentalists hated rock and roll with a vengeance.
Mm.
The mega churches today use contemporary styles of music as an essence of what they're doing.
Yes.
But in terms of moral personal conservatism, well, we already saw an interesting clash in Arise when one of the complaints of one of the Arise victims was that they seemed to object to me sleeping with my boyfriend.
Mm.
And of course, often in a mega church, who would know who was sleeping with whom?
Yes.
And that's one of the things about a large church. You won't keep track of that. But those traditional moral frameworks are still there and still active mm-hmm. in religious communities.
Just a quick aside here, Peter, just while I'm thinking about it. Have you seen an HBO TV show called The Righteous Gemstones?
No, I haven't, but I think people have been ordering me to go and see it.
Okay. Yeah, I was just sort of curious. I thought it might be on your radar. Good to know it is. It's pretty good. It's quite funny. I mean, but I'm an outsider, so.
The bit that intrigues me is that, you know, with the Roe versus Wade judgment about to be overthrown, in fact, all American states will have to decide whether they'll permit legalized abortion
yes.
or not, because it'll be back to states making their own decisions. And it would look like about half the states of the U.S. are going to restrict abortion rights significantly.
I did a quick scan of the internet before we chatted this afternoon, and a lot of online material pins the rise of the religious right on this initial Wade versus Roe
judgment. Case.
Yes, yeah, which of course allowed abortion in a roundabout way.
Well, there certainly was a religious conservatism before then. Mm. What Roe versus Wade did was it gave it political teeth. It gave them a political agenda. And so Jerry Falwell and the sundry aspects of the moral majority arose pretty directly from Roe versus Wade mm-hmm. to create a campaign for a kind of rescue of godless America.
Mm-hmm.
And that certainly was a very, very powerful force in politicizing the right. Now, in New Zealand, it's interesting because there was a period when Pentecostalism was very, very right-wing,
mm-hmm.
very, very political in its condemnation of feminism and the like. And in the 1980s, at the time when there was a huge fury over the United Nations Convention on the Rights of Women, in 1985, the new Labour government said it was going to ratify this and said it would hold women's forums up and down the land. And Pentecostal churches brought droves of conservative women, and they largely wrecked the forums by producing all these conservative opinions that came to, you know, wrestle their way into judgment and say, you don't speak for us. But after that, those voices, maybe they're more cautious, and maybe the simple fact of all the attempts to run Christian political parties have been such an abysmal failure in New Zealand means that both National and Labour have backed off from going down any particular religious road. Maybe also New Zealand is a lot more secular than the States, and that's a key factor.
Is it as simple nowadays as the religious right still basically fighting about same-sex marriage and abortion? Is it, you know, are they the same key issues that they were looking at?
Bear in mind, same-sex marriage has only been on the spectrum since 2007.
Mm-hmm.
That was when the first same-sex legislation came in for marriage, same-sex relationships were permitted. Significantly earlier than that,
mm-hmm.
but formal recognition of them is a pretty modern fight.
Okay,
and so the boundaries are moving. I mean, the other thing to bear in mind, Johnny, is this: that you could argue that the program of the left has run out of steam quite a lot anyway.
What do you mean by that? What do you mean by the program of the left has run out of steam?
I mean, the traditional program of the left was a socialist program to try and bring about a more equal and a less, more equal in both opportunities and even in outcomes.
Mm-hmm.
And by and large, that program's pretty muted.
Yes, you don't hear a lot about it, do you? No.
Nothing about it. And so in some ways, when you ask what is motivating the left wing to be the left wing today,
mm-hmm.
it's in some ways been taken up with a series of what you could easily call minority causes.
Mm-hmm.
And the difficulty is that you end up then with the reforms that you want to bring about, each of them benefits one group of people.
Yes, yeah.
But they're not all the same group of people.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's very easy, especially for people on the moral conservative side, to say, well, they're destroying everything that we stand for. And then, in New Zealand, undoubtedly, a racist and anti-Māori agenda would be the most obvious agenda today mm-hmm. of the right.
Yes.
And it's intriguing that we do see a little bit of that in the exposure of Celebration Centre Church in Christchurch, but I don't think that could easily be said of many of the other churches, many of whom are stacked full of at least Pacifica people.
Mm.
So I don't...
You go, Peter.
I think the target varies a bit depending on where you're at and what your community's like.
Mm.
So my impression is that in New Zealand, the biggest risk we would have would be a kind of ideological defence of racism and of anti-Māori sentiment. And we do have that emerging in New Zealand.
Mm-hmm.
But it's fortunately relatively few religious people have picked it up as a loud cry.
We've had a text come through, Peter. What's the connection between Trump and the religious far right?
Now, that is such an interesting and wacky story. Bizarrely, Trump became the hero of the religious right, and he got it really on one simple ground. He said he would bring about change in the Supreme Court in order to reverse the Roe versus Wade judgment.
Mm-hmm.
In no other respect, you would think, would Trump have the remotest appeal to the right, because he was, you know, his own personal life and style.
Hedonistic maniac, loose morals,
yeah,
fast living.
Precisely.
Yeah.
But you see, Hillary was in favor of abortion rights, and Trump was not.
Yes.
And by the Trump, by the 2020 election, Trump had left his mark on the Supreme Court, who had the extraordinary opportunity of reappointing so many judges that he could entirely change the complexion of a previously liberal court. And that's the significance of Trump. And that's why people still love him on the religious right side.
Yes.
They got what they wanted.
Mm-hmm.
In New Zealand, there's never been quite the ability to do that because our courts don't have as much opportunity, because you can't argue constitutional rights so easily in New Zealand.
Mm-hmm. Fascinating. I feel like we're just getting to the, you know, like barely scratching the surface on this one.
Yeah, but I keep thinking there's whole aspects of this that we should just keep reflecting on and come back on it another time.
All right. Hey, Peter Lynham, thank you very much for chatting this evening.
It's a pleasure.
We'll check in with you next week, mate.
Look forward to it. Bye-bye.